few. So we're gonna do the Ron. Try to do the Ron today. Okay. So. Okay. So let's read it. Okay. What else? Might as well. So it's on this thing. Mamshin l'tov. Okay. Mamshin l'tov. So it says V'boy Sam shouldn't have a name. Mamshin l'tov. It's on page 88 in the Ron. And Donovan Bays. I guess it's a few lines into the middle in the Gemara, where it says Gemara. You know, his role of I am Gemara, Iba Isema. It's like right in the middle of the page. It says, Iba Isema. You should have the Moshe on top. Ain lo bailam siuchol tova b'den. There's no Baal who could be Tovayim and then could sue him in court. Because he could always say, I'm going to give it to somebody else. I'm giving it to you. But Timani, the Kasha, he doesn't understand. I don't understand. Hidron says, what do you have to pick a case where you damage the Matanos, even if the Matanos are still around? It's in Lotovim. Because who's going to claim them? I have, let's say I didn't damage them. I have the Zohar Chaim sitting in my house. Now a guy comes to me in court and says, hey, give me the Matanos. I'll say, no, I'm giving someone else. So it's always in Lotovim. Right? So why are you picking a case? Why pick a case of Mazik Manas Kuhuna if the whole halacha of Rav Chista is that you're potter because no one can claim it from you? So then just pick a straight case. You're potter for giving Matanos because no one can claim it from you. Right? Okay. Fine. Right. So in other words, if you're telling me, right, another point is like this, that if you tell me really you're chayv, you have to give him the money. But it's ain't all tovim, no one can claim it from you. So so then you're saying that's what it means you're potter. Alright, that's what the Gemara says potter means no one can claim it from you. So then the Matanos themselves you have to give, but say potter because no one can claim it from you. Alright? Right. So in what sense is he calling that potter? Why is that potter? Because no one can claim it from you. So no one can ever claim that from you. So that's not a reason to say potter. If you're saying potter because the Zat teaches you your mamash potter, you're not potter for Tashlech, and I'm Chayv and Tashlom, fine. But if you tell me you are Chayv and Tashlom, just no one can claim them from you. So that shouldn't be called potter. But the same way that you're potter from paying the damages, you're also potter from giving the Matanos in the first place. Elamai, you're Chayv to give Matanos because of the mitzvah. So then you're Chayv to give the Mammon. Same thing. Okay. So what does he say? So therefore, so the answer is like this. Umashmali dachi kama. Since the Matanos Kuhuna Mammon Shein L'Tovim, Nehi Dechi Isnehu Beinayu Mechayev Misha Mitzvah. So it's true that when they're around, when they're ban, they're not damaged, Yechayev to give them because the mitzvah of giving Matanos Kuhuna, Ki Lesnu Beinayu, but when they're not around, when they're damaged, Ein Kan Mitzvah, there's no mitzvah. Below din mamon, nor is there din mamon. Okay, you're not chayev, there's no mitzvah, then you don't have to pay him. There's no monetary obligation. Okay, hilkach patar liamri. Right? Therefore, you're 100% patar. Okay, so he says that they're damaged, ein lo tovim, it's like since they're ein lo tovim, so. If there's a mitzvah, if they're around, then there's the mitzvah. But if there's no mitzvah, if they're not around, then there's no mitzvah, and there's no din mamon. And therefore, you're totally potter. So since it's ain't, why is there no din mamon? Sounds like he's saying, since there's no tovim, since no one can claim it from you. Right? So therefore, you don't have to pay din mamon. And in terms of the mitzvah is also, the mitzvah is only when they're around. When they're not around, there's no mitzvah. So you'll say when they're not around, then there's mamon. Yeah, but there's no one to be tovayah you. So you're potter from both counts. Okay, let's see. He keeps going. Well, if you go, the figuch nearly, right, is that what I'm up to? Yeah, the figuch, but let's just say the shemayim potter. So even the shemayim yinach, there's no reason to be chayev. You're totally potter. Even the shemayim yinach can be chayev. Okay. Question is, why not? I mean, because the thing is really, you should be chayev the mamon. The only thing is that there's no one to claim it. How does that make you potter even in the Shemayim? That's what's not exactly clear. Yes? Lonis chaver li masha kosu betosvos. And it's not clear to me what Tosvos says. Teika bein lishna kama lishna basra dilman de mapik la midach sivze afil bat zishmayim pater. Lishna basra kivna lo pater el misham mamon shein lo tovim bat zishmayim chayiv. So Tosva says, what's the difference between two lishanos? What's the difference whether you learn out the exemption from ze or you learn out the exemption from because it's mamon shein lo tovim? So Tosva says, the difference is are you chayiv le deshmayim? Is he chayiv bat zishmayim? Of course, a guy can't claim it from your own court. That's true. But do you owe it to him for real? If you want to be a good guy, leishmayim, be good with God. Do you owe it? Do you have to pay him? So if you learn that from Zad, no, pater. If you say it's because no one could claim it from you, fine, no one can claim it from you. But the bottom line is you owe it to him. So that's what Tosis. That's the way Tosis learns. That's the difference between the two. Gemara has two possible ways to explain Rav Chisda that you're pater. So he says, what's the difference between two? So he says, that's the difference. If you really owe it to him, then you should pay him. Now you can't claim it to you in court, fine, but you really owe it to him. But if you say it's because that means the Torah exempted you, then there's no reason to pay it. Torah exempted you. Right? Now the Ron doesn't like that. I mean, that sounds reasonable. Sounds like a reasonable way to say it. The Ron doesn't like that. He's holding your mamish pater, according to both. He says like this. He says, lo yidati lama. He says, I don't understand why. One of the cases when we say you should be Yalasadeshamayim is Suffolk Mamo. Okay, it's a Suffolk who you owe the money to. So it says neither guy can sue you, but Yechayev B'din Yishamayim. Right there, Yechayev B'din Yishamayim. So even though no one could get you in court, but like in really you do owe one of the money. So you don't know, oh, but you really owe one of the money, so Deshamayim, you should pay them both. Because after all, you do owe somebody money and you're not going to be fulfilling your debt to him. So technically he can't sue you, but in reality, because either one you'll say, oh no, it's the other guy. But in reality, someone you're going with his money, so therefore you really should pay them. So that's there, but lo damulai klal, that has nothing to do with this. Totally incomparable. Dehacha, because over here, ilom chayev misha mitzvah, if he's not chayev because of the mitzvah, misha mayim chayev. What should he be chayev for? Right? I don't know why I thought the money. Mamas. Like, it's not clear his argument. He's saying some argument. You can't say this comp because over there, you're chayav fine. But here, if you're not chayav as a mitzvah, what are you chayav for? Okay. I'm not really explaining this well because it's not clear what he means. Right? Does anyone have pshat? I don't know if there's a simple pshat here. And one thing he's saying is once Abed is gone, there's no mitzvah. Fine. You could say that. That's one thing that has to be explained, but you could say that. But then, fine. But why isn't there the mamon? Why don't I owe it to him? So you say, because no one can claim it from me. Okay, fine, so no one can claim it from me, but still I owe it to him. Right? Just like in those other cases. Like, oh, this is a suffix mama, no one can claim it from me, but I owe it to him. So why don't you say the same thing here? He says, well, if not for the mitzvah, then there's nothing. Why is there nothing? I thought there's dina mamonis here. Isn't this whole thing, isn't it set up through dina mamonis? So it's not clear where he's going. Okay, but then he says like this, interesting. I mean, we'll get to this a little later, but he says, but still... He says, either way, it's Midas Chasidus that you should pay. It's not Bala Yisrael Shemayim, there are different levels here. It's Midas Chasidus. Midas Chasidus, I think, means it's like philosophically good. There's a philosophical idea about doing it. It's like you're on Chasid, you're whatever, you should do it. Even though technically speaking, you're Pater, 100%, but there's an idea of Midas Chasidus, it's a good thing to do. That's not Bala Yisrael Shemayim. Bala Yisrael Shemayim means you're Chayef to do it. It's just that he can't get you in court. But you're really chayev. It's like you're a varian. You're doing something wrong if you don't get it. Mitzvah chasidus is like, it's piety. It's a nice thing. It's a good thing. It's philosophically good. Maybe there's some sort of kiyum, but it's not like, you're not chayev. Mitzvah chasidus. So we have to get to what's mitzvah chasidus. Okay, but he's going to prove it. I'm going to skip the part where he proves that it's mitzvah chasidus, but because that's from the Gemara. Okay, but that's it's going to complicate things further. You don't need to do that right now. And he says like this. Right. So he says, he basically tries to prove from the Gemara that there's nothing in the Shemayim. The only thing is there is the Mitzvah Chasidus. But there's no idea, according to either Lashon, whether you learn from Zer or Moshe El Tovim, still there's no reason, there's no Halacha of the Shemayim you have to pay. It's only Mitzvah Chasidus. Okay.
So now, then he just has one more line I want to read. Is that so? What then is the nafkamina between the two answers? Right? Because the whole reason Tosus was trying to say was that according to the second pshat, if it's not shein tovim, then yichayev deshmayim. If it's from zay, you're not chayev as deshmayim. So therefore, there's a nafkamina between the two answers. So the Gemara wants to know what's Rav Chista's reason. Is it because of Eirik as a beast? It's a nafkamina, right? But according to once you say Tovaran says either way you're patel as deshmayim. So what's the difference? Learn from here, learn from there. What's the point of saying two answers? So he says, why do I mean by same a lot mishum di given ayomidi? No, there's no nafkamina. There's no nafkamina. Ela mishum de lo nicholan v'taima de amrina and mishum zed. It's rechalan drasha chrina b'gemara. He says, no, because it's not so simple to say it's from zah. Because the gemara later has a different drasha from zah. So it says, you could say it's from zah. But even if you want to say zah is used up and you can't learn it from zah, so I'll tell you because moshin al tovim. So he's saying, but not that there's a machlokas about whether or not it's al tovim. He says, not because there's a nafkamina about whether you're chayiv lasid eshmayim, and definitely the halacha is the same. You're 100% pater. Pater, that's it. And it's no chayiv whatsoever. Only mischasidus. But, the more is a second answer, because the question is, it depends on how you learn Zach. Okay, it's a different thing. Okay? Okay, so the punchline is, I mean, we have to get into the nitty-gritty of the Ron, but the punchline of the Ron is saying is that no matter, according to everybody, whether it's because of Zeh, whether it's because of Enol Tovim, you're pater even in the Yidei Shemayim. You're not chayiv to give it. Tosus was arguing that really, according, if it's Zeh, the Torah pater you. If it's Enol Tovim, it means really you're chayiv. You're chayiv to give the Shevet the money. The money. The only thing is, who's going to sue you? No one's going to sue you. Yeah, but between you and God, I mean, you do owe them the money. It just works out a quirk of the court system that no one's going to be able to get you. But you owe them, according to Tosis. But the Ron's saying no. He says, if it's damaged and it's ain lo tovim, you're pater. Pater, really pater. But the question is, Tosis seems convincing. Because if the whole reason why you're pater is just because no one can sue you, fine, so I can tell me, but I mean, after all, I owe them the money. I mean, doesn't the fact that I'm saying it's because there's no one who could claim it means that in theory there is a claim to be made, it just there's no one there to make the claim. So doesn't that seem to imply that there's really a money which is owed? Like, how do you then say that, no, since they don't tell them, now you're about that? I mean, it seems like Tosis's point is, it doesn't really seem like you can argue with that. But the Ron is. And he has this thing, somehow, since you're pater from the mitzvah, therefore you're pater from the mamon, it's not clear what his argument is there, but he's trying to somehow put together an argument. Across this idea, this is Ishmael. Let's say I steal your thing, or something like that. I damage your thing, right? But no, there's no witnesses. So the guy sues me in court, and I say, no, that's not true. I didn't damage your thing. Or I don't know, whatever, I play innocent, I play dumb, whatever. So I'm not chayev in the court. The court's not going to be able to, there's no way to prove it. But I mean, do I own the money? Of course I own the money. That's called Yidei Shemayim. Lots is Yidei Shemayim. It means there's a reality of the right and wrong here. It's just that in court, you're not going to be able to know what's going to get you. So with this case, if you damage the Matan Mamas Kahuna, in court, no one's going to be able to get you. Because each guy, you'll always say, I'm going to give it to somebody else. And the next day, I'll give it to someone else, Even every single coin comes, and I'll keep telling them, send them in a circle. But do you owe them the Matanos? Ratoso says, yeah, of course you do. Are you chayiv to give it? Of course you are. But the court can't force you. The court can't seize your assets. They can't do anything. You have to. You owe it to them. Right? That's the way Tosfos is learning. Because that's the only reason you're exempt is because there's no one to be tevei you. But in reality, you owe the shevet. You do owe the shevet. Just that it's not actionable. But whatever, it's still there. Right? But somehow the Ron is trying to argue, since it's Ein Lo Tovim, and there's no mitzvah, something, then there's also no Din Mamon. And Moshe Ein Lo Tovim, Yishu Chayv Lassi Shemayim. That's by other cases, where there's a doubt who you owe the money to, so then you say, you're Pater, because no one could claim you, but Lassi Shemayim you should do it. But here, this is not that. Because here, if there's no mitzvah, then why should you be Chayv altogether? Something like that. But I mean, there's no cogent argument there, and you have to fill in the idea. Okay, so maybe like this. So, the way we were saying it yesterday is like,
The Torah is trying to say, I think yesterday, the Torah is, maybe 2 days ago. I don't know, yeah, 2 days ago probably. So the Torah is really wants to set up a mitzvah of giving matanos. Right? It wants the Israel to give the Zerah L'chaim gave a Torah Kohen. But the way the Torah created the mitzvah l'aseh was through mamonos. It created a zchus mamon in the Kohen in the Zerah L'chaim Keva. And now I am bound by that zchus mamon. And then when I fulfill that zchus mamon, I am fulfilling the asai. Because the nesina, the kiyum is that I do the nesina of the matanos to the Kohen. Right? But the way in which the Torah brought it about and was machai of me was through the zchus mamon. So it's not like a physical action of handing them to the Kohen, but it's like the realization of a zchus mamon. The Torah is trying to create a zchus mamon through the sinas matanos via the road, via the vehicle of zchus mamon. Okay, and that's why we said zeh. The idea of zeh is that the Torah was not interested in having me give the Kohen money. That's not what the Torah is trying to do. The Torah is trying to have me do the nesina of the matanos to the Kohen, and the mamon was there to enable that, to force that. But there's no reason why, if the thing gets damaged, that I should give the guy mamon. That's not the idea of the mitzvah. So what the Torah did is, when it created a zchus mamon of the Kohen, it created a limited zchus. A zchus which is limited to the guf hadavar, to the thing itself, not to tashlum. It like artificially, what comes along with the zchus of an object in general is the tashlumim. It's like his baggage that comes along with owning something. Is that if it's damaged, you get restitution. But here, the Torah created his zchus mamon like artificially. He doesn't really own it. It's just that because of the mitzvah, the Torah is to bring about the mitzvah. The Torah is creating his zchus mamon, but it's not interested in bringing about his wages and for me to pay him. It's interested in me giving him part of my meat, giving the coin meat. So therefore, what the Torah did is it created his zchus mamon, okay, within the guf hadavar itself, limited to the guf hadavar, to the object itself, and excluded from a tashlum. That was the way we learned zeh. Right? Right. But if you don't learn zeh, so then you say the Torah created a regular zchus mamon. And a regular zchus mamon brings with it tashlumen. Right? Even though that's not, so to speak, the purpose of the Torah or whatever, but the Torah didn't carve it out a unique zchus mamon, which is limited only to the guf hadavar and excluded from the tashlumen. It just created a regular zchus mamon. Right? Halachically, that's the way it did it. Okay? So now what will happen now if I then damage it? Okay? So again, the coin has zchus mamon in it, and I damage it. So now you'll say, so there's a zchus mamon, which is to the shevet, and now I damage it. Okay, so now what should happen? So in terms of the mitzvah that the Torah is trying to bring about, the mitzvah here really is the giving of the matanos to the Kohen. Right, that's the idea, the mitzvah that the Torah is trying to do. The kiyum of the thing is that I'm giving the matanos to the Kohen. It's the vehicle of setting up that mitzvah and forcing the mitzvah through the zchus mamon. But the mitzvah is the giving of the matanos to the Kohen. And in terms of the mitzvah, the mitzvah is not to give him money. The mitzvah is to give him the matanos, right? So it's like once the thing is damaged, it's like my giving him of the money is not the mitzvah anymore. It might be since the way the Torah set up the mitzvah was through his zchus mamon, so therefore I may be obligated to give the money because now there is a mamonous reality here. It gave him a zchus. But that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is accomplished through me giving him the matanos. You know what I mean? But so the thing is that once they damage it, there's no ban anymore. See, if there's a ban, if the object is there, so it's true, no one could claim it. But there's a mitzvah. Torah is zchus mamon, and there's a mitzvah, so I'm obligated to do it. But once the thing is damaged, so now the mitzvah is gone. The mitzvah is gone. Because it's not the object anymore. That's not the idea of the mitzvah is giving the object. But you'll say, yeah, but he still has chus mamon in it. right? So it's with mammon on it. But the mammon, it's really mammon shein lo tovim. So he can't claim it. He can't exercise his mammon, right? So therefore, I'm bater. So you'll say, yeah, but l'deshmaim, I should do it. I should anyways. So the Ron's saying is, no, you shouldn't. Because, see, if it's intrinsically a din mammon, it's his. He deserves it, so to speak. It's his object. I damaged his thing, legitimately his thing. Then you'll say, l'deshmaim, even if I'm technically off the hook, it's his. It's mishpat. He deserves it. It belongs to him. Right, so I should do it. It's deshmayim. But here, the Kohen doesn't really deserve it. It's not like his money. The Torah really just wants you to do a nesina of matanos to the Kohen. And the way the Torah does that is through using the mechanism of mamonos. Right? It's through using the mechanism of mamonos. So now it turns out that because it's mamonos, it's going to end up having tashlumen. Right? If you damage it. Now, but when that's like a byproduct. That's not really just like... Not like the Torah holds he should get it at that point. The Kohen does not. The Kohen shouldn't get it. The Kohen should get the matanos. There's no matanos anymore. It's just that the vehicle the Torah used was mamonos. So now, in terms of mamonos, I'm potter, right? So you'll say, yeah, but I should pay him anyways. No, why should I pay him anyways? It's not like it's his thing. The whole impetus of this whole mamonos altogether was because of the mitzvah, and the mitzvah fell away. So there's no mitzvah, and there's no mamonos because he can't sue me. So well, why should I do it? Because it's like he deserves it. It belongs. The whole deservingness only comes from because of the mitzvah. So now, I don't have to go beyond the letter of the law, so to speak. Like, if he could claim me in court, if there's a toveya, like, let's take this. If it's a yesh lo tovim, it means it was given to an individual kohen, so then you'll say, look, the mitzvah fell away, but the way the Torah set up the mitzvah is through mammon, and now it's mammon, and now the individual kohen can sue you in court, and you have to pay him, because look, you have to pay him. So the mammonus will force you. But now you're telling me there is no toveya. So now, in terms of the courts, I'm off. So the mitzvah disappeared, and the moment is that you can't get me. So why am I burdened? Why should I do it? Because, like, based on what? There's no. He holds that once you, the whole mamonis is supposed to be in service of the mitzvah. The mitzvah fell away, and now you just have the relic of the mamonis. But the mamonis also falls away because it's in lo tovim. So now you'll say, "Is yeah, but you still really owe it to him." And I think maybe this is the where in the machlokas lies. Because you could argue, and the Tosafot argues, yeah, but now the Torah did create his chos mamon, so now he really does deserve it. And therefore, you're obligated, Ishmael, to give it to him, because the Torah made it his. Now, why? Because the mitzvah fell away, but bottom line is the Torah made it his. One says, forget the history, bottom line is his, and he has a right to it, and I have to pay him. But the Ron sounds like he's saying is it doesn't work that way, because since the whole... Din Mamonis was created like in service of the mitzvah, and the mitzvah fell away, and the Din Mamonis also really is unactionable. So now you don't say this idea of Shemayim. It's like Yidei Shemayim is between God, but God doesn't really want it to have it, so to speak. It's just like that's just the way the system ended up setting itself up. So if you could get it in court, fine, you get it in court, but now you can't get it in court. So that's it. So I don't have to go beyond the letter. I don't have to go beyond the Din Mamonis is potters me, and mitzvah potters me. You follow what I'm trying to say? He says like this. Let me just read you what he's saying. He says, show you why you think that's what he's saying. I mean, let me maybe clarify it. He says, the Halachic Gemara, Kivan the Matanos Kivan Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. Since it's Mamon, in terms of Mamon, it's Shein Lo Tovim. Okay? So, Neyidim Kedi Chiyas Nubein Ahayu, if they're Be'en, they're there, so Mechai Mishal Mitzvah. So, it's true, no one can sue me in court. But there is a mitzvah. The mitzvah Sasei is to give them this object. So, they're there. But when they're no longer present, ain't kan mitzvah. So there's no mitzvah because why should I be giving money? That's not the mitzvah. The lo din mamon, and the lord is there din mamon because ain't lo tovim, right? Hilkach pater l'gamri. So therefore, you're totally potter. Okay, and then he keeps going. And therefore, even while it's mayim, you're potter. And then he goes further down and he says. He says, "Lo yadati lama dahanahu gavni." The perak goes to the perak amafki v'safek mamon dechayiv din shemayim lo dami like klal. When it's in those cases where you chayiv v'din shemayim, those are nothing like these. Okay, that's a safek mamon. De'achli lo mechayiv mishum mitzvah. If you're not chayiv because of the mitzvah, mishumayim chayiv. Why should you be chayiv? Because the mitzvah fell away. So why should I be chayiv in the din shemayim? Din Shemayim here, the whole Din Mamon is created because of the mitzvah. So now in the Din Mamon, the mitzvah doesn't apply anymore, and the technicalities of the Din Mamon isn't here anymore. So what's the what do you mean by Shemayim? I'm not sure about this, but one way to go here to clinch it is I don't know if this is the only way to go. So, but I think it would will satisfy you guys. You know, what's bothering you? I'm just not sure. Maybe there's other ways to go. But one way to clinch it is to say, what's the halacha of Letzad Shemayim? Okay, what's that halacha in general about Letzad Shemayim? Let's say again, I don't know who I owe the money to, so I'm potter because no one can claim me, but I am chayiv because of Letzad Shemayim. What's that idea? Is it pshat? Because bottom line is there is a chayiv mamon. Halachically, there's a chayiv mamon. Right? There's a chayiv mamon. It's just not actionable, but there is a chayiv mamon. So therefore, I'm bound to the reality of a chayiv mamon. The Shemayim and Shemayim are bound to the underlying reality of the din mamon. Right? So even though the court, he can't sue me, but that's what I'm bound to. There's a reality of din mamonis, and I'm bound to that. Right? That's one way to look at it, right? That's the Shemayim. The other way to look at it is no. I mean, the din mamonis goes by the courts, and the courts are the courts. The din mamonis, the courts, the spadr. But the Shemayim means justice. It means the Shemayim is justice. He deserves it. The guy deserves it. It's his. Now, sure. The vehicles of Mamonis are the courts, and therefore Potter. But still, it's only right. It says, right? I mean, the guy, you're going to walk away. This guy loses his money. So what's the justice in that? So the Shemayim means that it's right. It's like the Fnimishos Shoshden, so to speak. It's like that's the right thing to do, right? So if you learn, what's the difference? What's the difference? So the difference is that if you learn that it's because there's an underlying reality of mamonis and you are obligated to that underlying reality of mamonis, so then in this case also, the Torah created a reality of mamonis. In order to bring about the matanos, the Torah created a reality of mamonis. Right? So now there's a reality of mamonis, and you have to follow that. So now you'll say, the mitzvah falls away. Yeah, but in mamonis, it can't sue you. Because the courts, you know, but yeah, but there's still an underlying reality of mamonis, a Torah created mamonis, so I'm obligated to that underlying reality, right? So therefore, that's dosis. So the Shemayim. But if you learn that the idea is no, the underlying reality, the reality of mamonis goes by the courts. Whatever the courts say, that's mamonis. Mamonis, the system of mamonis itself goes by the courts. If the courts say you're potter, you're not bound to the underlying reality of mamonis. Dosis Shemayim means justice. Is that it's true in the courts? It's on potter, but Balaman is. It's not right. Right? But you can't say that here by the Kohen, because the Kohen doesn't really deserve it. In terms of justice, he doesn't really deserve the money. The Kohen deserves the matanos, because the mitzvah of giving the matanos, the whole underlying reality here isn't justice like it's his, like he deserves it. It's like it's not his money, it's not like he earned it. It's then the Torah was setting up the mitzvah of matanos. And the way it did that is it utilized the mechanisms of mamonos. So it utilized the mechanism of mamonos. But now, in terms of the mitzvah, forget it. It's over. In terms of the mechanism of mamonis, the courts say potter. So now why machayev? Because justice? Why? It's not justice. Why should it be justice? He doesn't deserve it. The whole thing came from the din of manaskunu. The din of manaskunu falls away. So where does it come from? See, if you learn the idea of the Shemayim is that I'm bound to the underlying reality of the din mamon, so then you say, yeah, so even though he can't sue me, and even though just the mitzvah is whatever, yeah, but still, the Torah created an abstract din mamon, and therefore I'm bound by that abstract din mamon. But the Ron will say, no, forget the abstract din mamon. Mamonus works by the courts, whatever the courts say, that's the mamonus. But it's wrong. If I steal something from a guy and the courts can't prove it, yeah, but it's wrong. I don't walk away with another guy's things, that's a level of Letzad Shemayim. It would be like a way like that. Let's say I steal something from a guy, or I damage this thing, and I can't prove it. They can't prove it. So the court says I'm potter. So why am I chayav Letzad Shemayim? Is it because, bottom line is, I damaged this thing. There's damages. So there's a reality of mamon. He lost mamon. I was master to mamon. So I'm chayav. Or do you say just because, no, mamon is, the courts say potter. But it's unjust. Letzad Shemayim means that you have to restore the justice here. You stuck his money and you have to restore it. It's not because there's like the reality of the mamon is goes by the courts. But Letzad Shemayim, there's a reality before God of justice. You know, it's like how much do you say the mamonist reality is tied into the courts? Could say the mamonist reality is totally tied into the courts, and then there's justice as a separate framework.
Or you could say, no, that I'm bound, I'm obligated to the underlying reality of mamonas, even outside the courts. It's true that I can't be enforced, but that's the Shemayim, I have to keep the, there's an underlying reality outside the courts. Like you could say, it's like the rule, it's kind of like, this one, I don't know if I necessarily want to go this way, because it's a very big question. But it's like the underlying relationship between the courts and the system of mamonas. You could say, like, there's an underlying reality of mamon. Whose is this? Who belongs to? Who deserves it? All that stuff. And the courts simply enforce that. But that's the underlying halachic reality which Torah created. So even if the courts can't enforce it, that's the reality. It's his. He deserves it. Right? The Torah created a reality of mamonas. It's his. He has his chus in it, so I have to give it to him. Could he, the courts force it, enforce it? No. It's fine, but it's still true. But the other way to learn it is like the courts create and determine the halachic, the reality of mamonas. The reality of mamonas is neat onto the courts. It's what they say. They are the ones who determine the reality. If in the courts is potter, then he's potter. But the courts is an approximation of justice. There's not only reality of justice. So even if the courts potter him, and I'm totally potter and mamonas, but in reality, in justice, I'm walking away with this thing. I have a higher thing to worry about. But here, there's no. Here, that's generated by mitzvah, and the mitzvah falls away. You know what I mean? It's a big question. You know?